Chapter 30, The Aryans of India. Life on the Ganges River. While the Romans were building their power in Italy, another great civilization was growing in another part of the world, the Indus Valley. Do you remember reading about Mohenjo-Daro, the mysterious deserted city of the Indus Valley? The citadel cities of the Indus Valley were deserted long, long ago. Maybe the cities were attacked by invaders. Maybe a long drought killed all the crops and forced the people to move away. Perhaps an earthquake destroyed the citadels. We'll never know for sure. But India didn't just sit empty. After the people of the Indus Valley disappeared, new settlers came into India. They were called the Aryans, and they came down into India from the north, from the area we call Asia. At first, the Aryans were nomads, but they soon settled down along the two big rivers of India, the Indus River and the Ganges River. They became farmers, just like the people who lived in the first villages of Mesopotamia. They grew crops for food. And like the people of ancient Mesopotamia, the Aryans raised animals, especially horses and cows. Every year, the Ganges River overflowed its banks and left rich, dark soil all over the fields nearby, just like the Nile River in Egypt. The people of ancient India grew wonderful crops in the dirt left by the Ganges River floods. They grew wheat like the Mesopotamians and rice like the Chinese. Without the Ganges River, the people of India wouldn't have been able to survive. They believed that the river had been provided by their chief god, Shiva, the god of life. Here is the story that the people of ancient India told about Shiva and the Ganges. Once, the river goddess Ganga lived in the heavens. She never came down to earth at all. Instead, she danced through the skies, bringing water to all who lived in the clouds, but ignoring the ground down below. The good king of India, King Bhagiratha, grew more and more worried. How could his people survive without water? Surely Ganga would come down from the heavens and bring water to the people who lived on earth. But Ganga refused to come down. She stayed up in the skies with her water. And the people of India were thirsty. So King Bhagiratha called to Shiva, the god of life. "Shiva," he cried, "we are dying of thirst. Please, please, send Ganga to earth for us." When Shiva heard Bhagiratha's cries, he called Ganga to his throne. "Ganga," he said, "the people of earth are thirsty. You must go down to the earth and take water to them." Ganga refused.
"I will not," she said. "I will stay here in the skies, my favorite place to be. Let the people of earth take care of themselves."
"But I command you," Shiva answered, "and you must obey me." At that, Ganga became furious.
"Go to earth?" she yelled. "I'll go to earth, all right, and drown everyone on it."
She balanced on the top of a cloud, ready to throw herself down to the earth with such violence that water would flood the entire surface of the ground. But when Shiva saw what she was about to do, he leaped down to earth ahead of her. When Ganga came crashing down, she landed on his head, and her full weight came down on Shiva instead of on the unhappy people of earth. Water flowed down Shiva's head in 7 streams, down onto the thirsty ground beneath him. The 7 streams came together into one mighty river, the Ganges River. And the Ganges River brought life and plenty to all the people who lived along its banks. The people who believed in Shiva and Ganga were called Hindus. Their religion was called Hinduism. Like the ancient Egyptians, the Hindus worshipped many different gods, but all Hindu believers worshipped the Ganges River. Today, Hindu pilgrims still come to the banks of the Ganges. At dusk, they float lighted candles on the water and pray to the river goddess, Ganga. The castes of ancient India. The people of ancient India worshipped Shiva, Ganga, and many other gods. Their religion, called Hinduism, taught that these gods had created life on earth. Their holy book, the Rig Veda, told the Hindus a story about how life began. The Rig Veda says, long, long ago, there was only one gigantic man who lived in the whole universe. His name was Purusha. He had 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, and 1,000 feet. The gods looked at Purusha and said, let's make a world from this enormous man. So the gods turned Purusha's head into the sky and his eyes into the sun. They turned his legs into the earth. His breath became the wind, and out of his body they made 4 different kinds of people. The first and most important people were the priests, the Brahmin. They came out of Purusha's mouth. They were intelligent and wise. As they walked out onto the earth, they became the most honored people in India. They were given the most delicious food, the finest clothing, and the biggest houses. Out of Purusha's arms, the gods made the second kind of people, the noble warriors. They rode out onto the earth on strong, beautiful horses. Their job was to protect the priests from enemies and to rule India. They too had good food and fine clothing, but not quite as fine as that of the priests. Then the gods made traders and farmers out of Purusha's knees. The traders bought and sold goods. The farmers grew crops and raised their animals. They worked hard every day. They had enough food to keep them from going hungry, warm clothes, and dry houses. Their lives were harder than the lives of warriors and priests. Finally, the gods came to the bottoms of Purusha's feet. Out of his feet, they made a humble group of people, the servants. Servants were not allowed to learn how to read and write. Instead, they spent their lives taking care of the priests, the warriors, and the traders and farmers. These 4 groups of people became known as castes. If your family belonged to the farmer caste, you could only grow up to be a farmer. You could only marry someone who was also born to be a farmer. You could never be a warrior or a priest. And if your parents were servants, you were doomed to be a servant. Priests, warriors, farmers, and traders expected you to serve them for the rest of your life. You would never learn how to read or to write. You would spend the rest of your life cooking, washing, and cleaning for someone else. But the poorest people in India were those who didn't belong to the caste system at all. They were called untouchables. They weren't priests or warriors or farmers and traders or even servants. They belonged to the poorest, most miserable families in India. The untouchables did all the dirtiest jobs in ancient India. They buried dead animals, cleaned the streets, worked in the fields, and picked up trash. They weren't allowed to drink water from public wells, or to use the same dishes as people from the 4 castes. The Hindus believed that touching an untouchable would make them unclean, and they didn't even want to look at the untouchables who did the dirtiest jobs. These untouchables were called unseeables. They were only allowed to do their work at night. It was a terrible thing to be born into an untouchable family. Untouchables were poor and badly treated. They weren't allowed to go to the doctor when they were sick. Children from untouchable families couldn't go to school or grow up to do jobs that they liked. They had to collect garbage and work in the fields like their parents. Thousands and thousands of people were untouchables in ancient India, with no chance ever to be anything else. Siddhartha. The priests, warriors, and rulers of ancient India lived well. They had good food and drink, soft beds to sleep in, beautiful clothes, and servants to do anything they asked. The traders and farmers of India weren't quite as well off, but they also had food to eat, decent houses to live in, and enough money to take care of themselves and their families. But the servants who belonged to the lowest caste of India worked hard for very little money. They had to do the jobs that the priests, warriors, rulers, traders, and farmers didn't want to do. Servants didn't have nice houses or clothes. They weren't even allowed to learn how to read. And the untouchables were even more miserable than the servants. Untouchables couldn't even be friends with servants. They were only allowed to talk to each other. They spent their days doing dirty, disgusting jobs. And at the end of the day, they weren't even paid enough money to eat properly or to buy warm clothes. Long ago, a prince named Siddhartha lived in India. He didn't know how miserable the servants and untouchables were because he was surrounded by beauty and luxury every moment of his life. His proud father, King Suddhodana, built 3 palaces for his son. He gave Siddhartha 1,000 servants to wait on him hand and foot. He hired the best tutors to teach his son how to write poetry, play music, fence, and wrestle. At night, Siddhartha slept on rich, soft sheets, while musicians played beautiful music to lull him to sleep. In the morning, servants brought him his meals in bed, while poets read to him, and other servants burned incense to make his room smell sweet and fragrant. But in time, Siddhartha became curious about the world outside. "What is outside the palace walls?" he asked his father. "I want to go and see the city around me." "There is nothing that you need to see out there," his father answered. "Stay here in the palace. Eat the good food I've provided for you. Enjoy the music and the poetry." But Siddhartha kept begging his father to let him go outside. Finally, Suddhodana agreed. But he told Siddhartha's chariot driver to stay only in the streets near the palace. He ordered all of these streets swept, and the fronts of the buildings scrubbed and repainted. He drove all the sick and poor away into other parts of the city. At last, he allowed his son to go out. At first, Siddhartha was delighted. "The city is as beautiful as my palace," he exclaimed. "How wonderful it must be to live in this city, and how fortunate its people are." But as his chariot turned a corner, Siddhartha saw an old, old man dragging himself along with the help of 2 sticks. "Who is that?" he asked his chariot driver. "What is wrong with him?" "That is an old, poor man," the chariot driver said. "He can barely see or walk, and the only food he is given is the food that he can beg from generous people passing by. Everyone will grow old and feeble in time. Even you, Siddhartha." Siddhartha had never before seen an old person. He was horrified, but he was even more distressed a few minutes later when they passed a man sitting on the sidewalk, bent double in pain and pleading for help. "What is wrong with that man?" he asked. "He is sick," the chariot driver said, "and no one will help him because he is an untouchable. Soon he will die." "What is death?" Siddhartha asked. "Death is the end of life," the chariot driver told him. "We will all die, even you, Siddhartha." Siddhartha returned to his palace, struck with grief and misery. He had never known that people lived in pain and suffering, or that all men will die. The luxuries all around him seemed false and wrong. So he took off his fine clothes, put on the poor clothes of a beggar, and went out into the world. For years and years, Siddhartha lived the life of a beggar. He spent his time trying to find out why people must grow old and sick and finally die. One day, Siddhartha was sitting beneath a wild fig tree, thinking about the mysteries of life. Suddenly he exclaimed, "I understand! Everyone, no matter how poor, sick, or miserable, can find happiness by leading a good life." From then on, Siddhartha was known as the Buddha. He taught his followers that they should be honest, make peace with their enemies, and avoid violence. The followers of the Buddha became known as Buddhists. Soon, many people in ancient India were Buddhists. Today, Buddhism is followed by many, many people, both in India and in other countries around the world. Note to parent. The Aryan people probably came into India around 1500 BCE. Their civilization reached a high point around 500 BCE, when 16 separate kingdoms existed in the northern part of India. Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, lived around 563 to 483 BCE.